truth is, I knew I was in trouble the moment that we arrived at the lake. And the reason is because as we were pulling in, I'm looking out at this awesome setting, and I can see that there is a cliff that's got to be, I mean, it's 200 feet tall at least, and there's already people jumping off of the cliff. It was probably more like 20 feet, but in my mind, it just kept growing and growing and growing. I don't know if any of you guys have ever experienced this before, but I had the added burden that I was a youth pastor taking students to this lake, and so I did what any youth pastor would do in that situation. I supervised. I made sure nobody's stuff was getting stolen, right? I camped out on the side. I'm like, okay, I'm just gonna park right here. And I actually walked up to the top of the cliff so I could see people jump off. And like, I was just content not to get in the water that day until a voice from down below me echoed through the canyon like a lion roar coming out of the mouth of a sixth grade girl who had just jumped into the water and was like, "Pastor Jeff, aren't you going to come in?" And you could hear it just echo throughout the entire area. She'd already jumped several times. And the truth is, I stood at the edge of that cliff face and I hesitated for a moment. Not because I don't like water. I love water. I love swimming. I just don't like pain. It hurts me. Right? I don't want to do it. I don't want to jump. And so I was fine being close to the action as long as I didn't have to risk anything. And this is how we approach faith sometimes. Now, I managed to jump. After I jumped once, I jumped a couple more times, and it ended up being okay. And really, the cliff was probably not even 20 feet high, probably more like 15 feet, if we're being completely honest. But I managed to get over that hurdle. But there was a hesitation in me, because I didn't want to risk something, even though I knew that if I jumped, I was going to have a great time. Usually with God, we want Jesus to improve the life that we already have. We don't want him to interrupt it. We don't want him to ask us to do something difficult, to do something new. We see in the Gospels that the crowds loved following Jesus as long as it was comfortable. And we're the same way. We love the inspirational Jesus, not the disruptive Jesus. We want the cheerleader, we don't want the coach. We want the calling as long as it doesn't cost us. We love going on missions trips, but we have a hard time living on mission here where we are in Moses Lake. And so for a lot of us, it leads to us choosing even unhealthy patterns of living because they're comfortable, because it's easy, because it's what I've always done, it's because it's just who I am. But when God nudges us to have a tough conversation or to forgive somebody that hurt you, we tend to resist. We're like, "God, is that really you? That must have just been the pizza that I ate last night. That couldn't possibly be God speaking to me." When your pastor calls you down front and you're wondering, I just don't want to be the first one to come down. And so you sit and you wait and you look around and okay. I guess that wasn't for me. And we just love the comfortable. We love to sit where we are. But the truth is that delayed obedience is disobedience. When we refuse to move, or when we hesitate, we're being disobedient until we move into what God has for us. And comfort then becomes the enemy of calling. Comfort is the enemy of calling. We're going to be in Matthew chapter 4, so if you have your Bibles, go ahead and turn over there. And Jesus is going to offer some men a choice. And when he offers them this choice, he leaves it up to them. Do you want to do it or not? We've been talking the last couple weeks about how when the kingdom of God comes in our life, it demands us to follow him. There are two paths that we can take. And we talked the first week about how John the Baptist is like that traffic cone. He's like that detour sign. He says, you can keep going this way if you want, but the bridge is out ahead. and it's going to lead to your destruction, or there's a new way to go. There's a new way to go. But the kingdom of God doesn't allow you to pick the other path. You eventually have to make a choice which way you're going to go. And this is what we're going to see again in Matthew 4 as we talk about preparing the way for God and what does God want us to do, because we can no longer go the same direction. And so our question today is really going to boil down to this idea of, will you follow Jesus wherever he leads? Will you follow Jesus wherever he leads? Last week we talked about Jesus' temptations in the wilderness, and now we see he's leaving the wilderness, he moves to Capernaum, and he begins to preach. And if you were here 2 weeks ago when we talked about John the Baptist, his message probably is going to sound a little bit familiar to you. It says, from that time on, Jesus began to preach, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near." What he's saying here is that you've got a choice. You can go the direction you're headed, or you can repent, you can turn, and you can head the way the kingdom of God wants you to head. And this is the message that Jesus preached, because John the Baptist had already prepared the way. The people already understood the message. Jesus had gone through the testing, and now he's ready to begin his ministry. So we're going to pick it up, Matthew chapter 4, starting in verse 18. And it says this, it says, "As Jesus was walking beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon called Peter and his brother Andrew. And they were casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen." And that's what fishermen do. "Come follow me," Jesus said, "and I will send you out to fish for people." And at once they left their nets and followed him. Going on from there, he saw two other brothers, James the son of Zebedee and his brother John. They were in a boat with their father Zebedee, preparing their nets. So they're getting ready, or they're just coming in from fishing. And Jesus calls to them, and immediately, notice that word immediately, two different times now, we've said it, or we said at once in verse 20, and now immediately, they left the boat and their father and followed Jesus. You see, In this scenario that we have here, Jesus is walking along. He sees these people fishing, and he says, "Okay, come on with me. Come follow me." And what we see is there's a definite call that demands a response. There's a definite call that demands a response, and not just any response. This response demands total commitment from them. Matthew shows us that they were quick to respond to his calling, that when he said, "Come," they came. And when he said, "Follow," they followed. They were ready to go into whatever God had for them. When Jesus spoke, the people jumped to follow him. They were ready to go. They were ready to follow the Messiah. And part of this is because John the Baptist had done such a good job of preparing the way for Jesus. But also, there's a couple of details that Matthew actually leaves out of this story. And so what I want you to do is I want you to go ahead and put your finger in Matthew chapter 4 and flip over to Luke chapter 5. And we're going to read a little bit more about what Jesus did on that day. Now, Luke gives us a little different context. You have to understand that Matthew was writing to the Jewish people, and they were ready to follow the Messiah because they had already seen in the Old Testament. They knew the prophecies. They knew the teachings about Jesus. And so when they heard that the Messiah was there, all they needed was proof that he was the Messiah, and they were ready to follow him. For the Gentiles, the non-Jewish people of the time, they needed a little bit more proof, a little bit more understanding. And so Luke provides additional context because he's writing to a Gentile audience that didn't know the Old Testament. Luke chapter 5 says, "One day, as Jesus is standing by the Lake of Gennesaret," or the Sea of Galilee, "the people were crowding around him and listening to the word of God." So already we have a difference where Matthew says that Jesus is just walking along, and now Luke tells us that actually there's crowds of people that are with Jesus as he's walking along. They're listening to the word of God. "And he saw at the water's edge two boats left there by the fishermen who were washing their nets." So they're preparing their nets. And it says, verse 3, "He got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, and asked him to put out a little bit from the shore. Then he sat down and began to teach the people from the boat. when he had finished speaking, so again, understand the context here. So Simon has listened to, he's seen the crowds, he's listened to the sermon. He allowed Jesus to use his boat. Now Jesus turns to him and says, when he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, put into the deep water and let down the nets for a catch. And Simon answered, Master, we've worked hard all night and we haven't caught anything, but because you say so, I'm going to let down the nets. I'm going to take this small step. When they had done so, they caught such a large number of fish that their nets began to break. So they signaled to their partners, James and John, in the other boat. And they're like, hey, come on out here. We need some help with this catch. When Simon Peter saw this, he fell at Jesus' knees and he said, go away from me, Lord, for I am a sinful man. For he and all his companions were astonished at the catch of fish they had taken. And so were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, Simon's partners. Then Jesus said to Simon, don't be afraid, for now on you will fish for people. So they pulled their boats to the shore. They left this enormous catch of fish behind. They left all whatever that represented for them. You know, days' wages, weeks' wages, we don't know. But whatever it represented, they left it behind. They're like, hey, Zebedee, right? Because Zebedee didn't get to come along for some reason. You take care of the fish. We got something more important to do. And they leave and they begin to follow Jesus. So when Jesus says, come follow me, it's not blind faith that he's asking for. Because in this context, we see that there were already several things that Jesus had done by the time he extends the invitation, come follow me. So whether it was the Jews, Matthew was written to the Jews, they were ready to follow because God had already, they already believed that Jesus was the Messiah, or the Gentiles who needed to see a little bit more before they believed, Jesus called to them and he calls to you today. He calls to you today as well. But the truth is, he's not going to call you to blind obedience either. He's not going to call you to sacrifice everything. At least not yet. He might. He's God. He has that ability, right? But what we see here, the pattern that's laid forth is Jesus takes them on a little bit of a journey as he's asking them, come follow me. For a long time, I knew I was called into the ministry. And I knew that God was doing something in my life. My prayer was, God, just keep me in a place with running water. Like, God, that's all I want. I'll follow you wherever. Just keep me in a place with running water. And so I praise God that my calling has included getting to live in different areas of Washington State, and that God has me here in Moses Lake now. But I was willing. I was ready. I was like, hey, God, I will go where you send me. And I think that there's something in us that as our faith progresses, we need to be willing to open ourselves up like that. God, the Bible says that God isn't going to give us more than we can handle, but the truth is he does stretch you. And sometimes that stretching can feel like an awful lot. If you've ever been stretched by God, say amen. Or say ouch. So Simon and Andrew, James and John, had already seen Jesus at work. They had already experienced the power of God before Jesus then calls to them. This isn't an impulsive decision then that they make, but it is decisive. This is really important. It is a decision that they make. They make a commitment in that moment. Matthew 4 says, at once Simon and Andrew left their nets and they began to follow him. Now for them, these nets, they meant to them income. It meant security. It meant being able to provide for your family. It meant every time you went out and you had a good catch, it meant that things were going to go well. And if you went out and you didn't catch anything, then you're starting to wonder. You're starting to ask a question. You're like, wait, God, is this really enough to feed my family, to prepare, to get ready for the winter? All of these things, all of these questions that all of us have. And these nets represented for them income, security, also routine. Every day they got up, they did the same thing. There was something comfortable about it. They knew how to prepare the nets. They knew how to handle the boat. They knew about the wind and the waves. They knew what it took. And so they were able to go and do it day in and day out. And so in this context here, then these nets, it wasn't a sinful thing that they were holding on to. But in this context, the nets become a symbol of their obedience to Jesus. They say, God, I'm going to leave all of this behind. I'm going to leave all of this to follow you. Are you willing to follow Jesus wherever he leads? Because you can't hold on to your nets and follow Jesus at the same time. You can't follow Jesus and also have one foot in the boat getting ready to go out into the water. It requires, Jesus requires, the kingdom requires total commitment from us. So the simple question then is what are the nets that we're holding on to? What are the things inside of us that are causing us not to give our everything over to God? Is it position? Is it a person? Is it a vice? Is it a sin that you've been holding on to? Is it anger? Is it entitlement? Is it comfort? What is it that you're holding on to that's stopping you from being able to follow Jesus with everything? Because Jesus is calling you today. He's calling you today. For some of you, he's been calling you for a while. You've heard his voice, and now it's starting to become fainter the further you walk away from him. He's asking you to step out of the boat, to drop the nets, and to come follow him. And I think there's even some of you in here today that might be resisting a call into ministry. Maybe you're watching online this morning, and you're thinking to yourself, I know that God has asked me to do something, but you know, I've got my career set up. I'm headed in a certain direction. I've got everything in place. I've got bills. I've got responsibilities. Will you follow Jesus wherever he leads? Will you follow Jesus wherever he leads? Jesus doesn't just call them away from something. He calls them into something. He says in the New King James, it says, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. Everybody say fishers of men. This is the job that Jesus had for them, and this is the job that Jesus had for all of us as well. That he wants us to go. Whether you go into full-time ministry, or whether you are a missionary to your workplace, whether you're a missionary to your friends and your family, wherever you are, wherever God has planted you, he wants you to go, and he wants you to become that fisher of men. This same calling that he had for them extends to you today. Because discipleship, what we're doing right here, this teaching time, shouldn't be just reserved to a Sunday morning. The Bible reading that we're doing day in and day out shouldn't just stay in the morning. It shouldn't just be a prayer meeting that we attend on Wednesday nights and that's it. Discipleship should lead to deployment. It should lead to us going. It should lead to us taking what God is doing inside of us and taking it out into the world. This is why we talk about being a family that's learning to love like Jesus, because in Jesus, we see this pattern that he wasn't content just to be a carpenter working in a shop, but instead Jesus went because he had compassion on those around him. He loved them, and so he wanted to serve them, and that's what we want to do as well. See, we don't follow Jesus just to change direction or just to get fire insurance, right? We're not just looking for a way out of hell. Instead, we're looking to do what God has asked us to do. He didn't call us just to save us. He's asking us to change the world. I mean, he's got a job for us to do. He says, come follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. Because if God has saved you, he's sending you. He wants you to go. Now, this isn't about being perfect. And in fact, as we continue to work through the book of Matthew, we're going to see that this group, Simon, Andrew, James, and John, they were not perfect people. They had their failings and their flaws, and yet they were still on mission. They were still doing what God asked them to do. We're going to watch them as they argue. We're going to watch them as they question. We're going to watch them as they doubt. We're going to watch them as they try to exert authority that they don't have, as they try to convince Jesus to let me sit on your right hand or your left hand, as they try and fail to pray for somebody and see them healed. We're going to watch them go through all of these things. But they were still on mission with God. And our question today is, are you on mission? Are you going where God is asking you to go? Jesus is looking for people who will say yes to the mission. He's looking for a group of people who are ready to say yes. For Simon and Andrew, leave your whole life behind was not the first yes that they gave. And I want to make this really clear, because I don't want to paint a picture that is too big. But instead, for Simon and Andrew, their first yes was allowing Jesus into the boat. They allowed him, they pushed out from shore a little bit so that he had room, a little bit of space from the crowd so that he could talk without everybody pushing around him. They sat and listened to the sermon. They didn't once push Jesus overboard, right? They could have, but they didn't. So they're saying yes to him. And then Jesus asks, will you take me out into the deep water? Let's go fishing. And Simon's like, wait, we haven't caught anything. We were just coming in. All of our nets are getting ready to dry. We're getting ready to use them the next day. Jesus says, go. So they go. And it's by that second, third, fourth yes that Simon has a revelation, where he falls down at his knees and begins to worship. And so if you're in here today and you're still, there's still some questions, there's still some doubt, there's still some things hanging on to you, will you take your first yes? Will you take that first step? Give Jesus a little bit of a chance and watch if he's going to prove himself to you. Because he wants to today. Someday, God might call you to leave everything. And for somebody in here, God might even be speaking to you. You've been walking with God. And now it's your moment to say, this isn't just an emotional response. This is going to be a very physical, this is going to change my occupation, this is going to change my lifestyle, this is going to change my goals and my dreams, but I'm going to commit and I'm going to give God everything. If God is speaking to you about that today, I would ask, please, fill out a Connect card, just come find me after service, somehow get a hold of me, let me know what God is doing inside of you, because I would love to encourage you and help you in your next steps there. Because what we want to do is, whether you're called to vocational ministry or whether God has called you to the marketplace, we want to be a people that live lives of integrity, live lives of purpose, live lives that are loving like Jesus, shining his light for the world to see. Amen? Amen. So next week, we're going to start a series on the Sermon on the Mount, and it's really about what does it look like? What do people who follow the kingdom look like? This is what the Sermon on the Mount is. It talks about all of these different groups of people. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are they that mourn. Blessed are those who are mistreated and abused. And it says that if you are a follower of the kingdom, this is the type of person that is a follower of the kingdom. And so we're gonna walk through the Sermon on the Mount. I don't know how many parts it's gonna be yet. It might take us up to Easter. I'm not sure yet. Still praying through it, but I'm excited to see what God wants to speak to us as we begin to ask this question. But it starts with today, right? It starts with, will you follow him? And then over the next 11 weeks, we're gonna kind of develop that theme of, what does it look like to follow Jesus? But for today, our question is, will you follow Jesus wherever he leads? If I could have the worship team go ahead and join me up on stage. We don't have to figure it all out today. We're not trying to do, crunch all of the numbers to figure, you know, to, okay, how much can I afford to live on so I know what I have to, you know, to do in order to go to college or things like that. We don't have to figure all of that out today. The question is, will we take a step of faith? Will we follow God wherever he chooses to lead? Are we going to give up our boat? Are we going to give up our nets and watch him work in our lives? So what is it that you've been holding on to? What is the thing that has gripped your heart, that has caused you to avoid answering the call, and said to say, God, just another month, and then I'll have enough money saved up. Just give me, I don't know, 10 more catches like this one, and then I'll have enough money to be able to follow you. God, I just need help in this area, and then I can go. Jesus is asking today, will you follow me? What habit is he asking you to drop? Or what relationships is he asking you to realign? Where is he saying, hey, you need to, every time you hang around this person, it tends to lead towards you making decisions that you don't want to make. So you need to take a step back from that person for a season so that you can get stronger in your faith, so that eventually you can go and you can minister. You can be the light of the world or the light of God to that person. But there's some relationships that you might need to realign. What fear is keeping you from obedience? Is it questions about security? Is it questions about comfort? What are the things that are keeping you from obedience? Or what steps have you been postponing? You know that God's been calling you. God, I don't, just not yet. God, just not yet. During this series, we've asked three questions. The first one was, will I prepare? Will I go in the direction that God is going? The second one is, will I trust that when I make that turn, the road isn't always smooth. It's not always straight. It's not always downhill. But will I trust God anyway? And then this week, we're talking about, will I follow God? Will I follow him? My question for all of us is, what would it look like if we became a church that was really ready to follow Jesus? I mean, just imagine the person next to you, the people that are around you, taking this message of hope, taking this gospel, taking this understanding of who God is and what God wants to do, taking it into our schools, taking it to our jobs, taking it to our neighborhoods. What would it look like if all of us made that decision to be the light wherever we are? What if every family saw themselves as a missionary, taking God's word everywhere that they go? What if the work that God does here inside of us didn't stay here, but it translated to Monday morning? And people could see that we're living differently. What would it look like if we all followed Jesus wherever he leads? Father God, we thank you, Lord, for this challenge today. God, I pray that we wouldn't take it lightly, but God, we would all consider and ask you, God, and be challenged by this question of, will we follow you? God, I pray if there are nets that we're holding on to, God, you would give us the strength and give us the boldness to drop those nets and begin to follow you, to take those small steps that will eventually lead us to bigger steps, to say yes to Jesus, because you are worthy, because you want us to follow you. God, help us. Give us boldness. Give us courage, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. For some of us in here, we need to take that first step of following Jesus. And so I just want to give you an opportunity to do that right now. In just a minute, I'm going to ask you to raise your hand, and I'm going to ask you to acknowledge that I don't know everything that I'm doing. I don't understand all of this, but there's something about this Jesus guy that is compelling enough that I want to see where this goes. And I understand that my life, I've gotten it to a place of comfort, but it's not exactly where God wants me to be. And so I want to give you an opportunity today to take that step. Maybe it's for the first time, or maybe you're coming back to him. but to give you an opportunity to follow Jesus again. If you're watching us online, make sure to click the link in the chat because we want to make sure that we are able to follow up with you and to connect with you. And if I could just get everybody just praying, if you're here in this place right now and you say, I want to follow Jesus, I want to give my heart to Jesus, when I count to three, would you raise your hand all across this place? Ready? One, two, three. If you're in here, we got several hands going up here. Awesome. People coming back to God. People making that commitment again. Anybody else? You want to give your heart to Jesus? Come on. You guys can go and put your hands down. Let's just pray right now for all of these people that are rededicating their lives to God. Father God, we just ask that you would touch them, Lord, that you would help them to make this decision. And God, then to make the next decision, whatever you are asking them to do. God, they're taking that step. God, they're saying yes to you. And now, God, I ask that, Lord, you would help them. God, you would show them what their next step is. God, I pray that you would touch them, Father God, in Jesus' name. Why don't you guys all go ahead and repeat after me. Say, Father God, I believe that you came and that you want me to follow you. I want to give my whole heart to you. Forgive me for the things I've done. Help me to give up my nets and to follow you with my whole heart. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Can we give a hand to these guys? Come on. For the rest of us in here, God is asking you to surrender today. God has a calling. He's got something that he wants you to do. But there's something that's holding you back. There's a net that you've been hanging on to. There's a comfort. There's an attitude. There's an entitlement. There's something that is holding you back from diving in to everything that God wants for you. And so what we're going to do is I'm going to open up the altars. We're going to have the worship team lead us in just a second. But I'm going to ask you to take a step of faith today. Just like Simon and Andrew, James and John were willing when God called to follow him, I'm going to ask you to take a step of faith towards Jesus today. And so as we worship together, if you would come and you would begin to call out to God, begin to talk to God, begin to acknowledge, and then once we get everybody up here, I'm gonna pray over you guys. But why don't you guys go ahead and stand to your feet. If that's you in this place, if you want to say yes to what Jesus is asking you, go ahead and move towards the front right now. Come down to these altars, and worship team, would you lead us in this song this morning?